This is summer, but we'll put you to a little work this morning. Today's scripture reading requires your participation. It's on page 861 in your hymnal, as well as on the screens. We'll sing the response. I will read the fine print. You respond with the bold print, etc. It's Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created, who established them forever and ever, and fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning. Welcome to everyone, especially if you're visiting today. Thank you so much for being among us this morning. Hey, I just wanted to make a reminder, too. It was just about 4 weeks ago now that the Michigan Area Annual Conference happened here at the Grand Traverse Resort, and we've got a bunch of these nice little magazines that summarize the results of the annual conference, and so you can pick one up in the back there on your way out. We want you to be informed about the kind of things that happened and the action that was taken by the annual conference. So this morning we begin our first summer sermon series, What a Wonderful World. Thanks, Doc and Donna, for that great introduction with your song a moment ago. And what we're going to be doing in this sermon series the next 4 weeks is to look at creation, look at the natural world, and see what we can learn about God, who God is, God's character, and God's ways with the world. And today,
I'm going to be preaching on how the heavens and the earth teaches about the character of God. So as a child, was taught that the natural world says some important things to us about God, who God is, and how God operates in the world. And I learned this connection mostly from my mother, Lorraine, who had a kind of a mystic's heart, if you will, a deep sense of the wonder and the beauty of creation, and always loved to respond to that. If you never saw a sunset unless you saw one with Lorraine, let me tell you. But she loved to marvel at creation. That was a gift she gave me. And that was a gift, too, that we've tried to pass on to our children. And I think it's a good gift for moms and dads to give children this ability to wonder at creation and find God's love and care in creation, even God's character in creation. Fruits and vegetables from the garden, a glorious sunset, starry skies, powerful thunderstorm, a robin feeding its young with a worm, a butterfly on a milkweed, a cool swim in the summer in the bay, or maybe at this point a cold swim in the bay, huh? On and on it goes, though. It's all because of God and reason to give thanks and praise to God. It gives witness to the nature of God. In today's bulletin, I pose a few questions to get us thinking about this. How do you know God in nature? Where do you feel closest to God in creation? How does the natural world offer you evidence of the existence of God? Some things to think about during the sermon. Now, one of the things I think is very, very interesting is how the scriptures point us to creation to learn something about God. And we've heard that already this morning. Scriptures tell us to look at creation to understand God, that God is revealed in everything God has created. The Psalms especially lift this up as a way to learn of God, respond to God. For example, Psalm 19 says it this way: "The heavens are telling of the glory of God. The firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night declares knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out throughout all the earth, their words to the end of the world." Listen to how Eugene Peterson paraphrases this in his word on the scripture, The Message. You've heard some of this before, but listen to what he says about this. He says, "God's glory is on tour in the skies, Godcraft on exhibit across the horizon. Madame Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. Their words aren't heard, their voices aren't recorded, but their silence fills the earth, unspoken truth spoken everywhere." And then he continues about the psalmist's words on the sun. "God made a huge dome for the sun, a superdome." Remember the superdome? "The morning sun is like a new husband leaping from his honeymoon bed. The day breaking sun, an athlete racing to the tape." Now the writer goes on and talks about how the laws of God also help us understand God, naming those ways he understands God revealed to the world through nature, creation, through law. And then you heard it a moment ago in today's psalm. Heavens and earth praise God. Sun, angels, moon, stars, sea monsters. You have to wonder what they were thinking about, you know, with that phrase, the sea monsters, right? Fire and hail and snow, frost and wind, wild animals as well as cattle, creeping things, flying birds. Then he calls the people of the earth on considering this to worship God. "Let them praise the name of the Lord. God's name alone is to be exalted. God's glory above heaven and earth." You see, my friends, before there was written scripture, there was creation telling us something about the Creator. before the law and prophets, before Jesus ultimately showed us God's will and way, nature, the first scriptures spoke to us of God. In his book, Nature's Case for God, teacher John Frame names five key ways that creation tells us something of the character of God. He talks about these things: the greatness of God, the oneness of God, the wisdom of God, the presence of God, and the goodness of God. I want to spend a few moments just looking at these things. First of all, greatness. To be human, wouldn't you agree, is to marvel at creation? It's an amazing thing. The size, the magnitude of heaven and earth, as well as the intricacies, the details of heaven and earth. It's obvious and it's everywhere. You can't deny it, right? It's even in the stones, as Pastor Chris pointed out a moment ago. 17th century scientist Blaise Pascal wrote, "Who of us can deny the greatness of the world we are in, both the vastness of the world larger than us and what is smaller and even within us? It is the greatest sensible mark of the almighty power of God. That imagination loses itself in such a thought." Did you catch what's being said there? The greatness of the natural world is one of the things that makes us wonder about and believe in God. It's the first thing that made people religious. The idea that someone had to make all of this, it's too amazing to just happen on its own. The greatness of creation is not only what has caused us to believe in a great God, but as well to worship God, to offer praise and thanks to God for creation. "The heavens tell the glory of the God," says the psalmist, and that makes God worthy of our praise, the greatness of God. What about the oneness of God? The greatness of God leads, I believe, to the thought that this God is the one true God, God above gods, God who alone is exalted, as the psalmist says. You know, it's important to know that when the first scriptures were written, the religion of the day held that there were many gods connected to different parts of creation. You know this, right? Gods of sea and land and desert and sun and moon and stars. In some of my reading last week, I learned, maybe I learned this, you know, 35 years ago in seminary, but I'd forgotten if I did, but always trying to learn, we all are, right? I learned that in the Genesis story, you know, that story of creation, Genesis chapter 1, when it says, "On the fourth day God created sun, moon, stars," that when the priestly writers were thinking about that 3,500 years ago, they weren't thinking about sun and moon and stars as you and I think about them today. See, what the writers of Genesis knew is that sun, moon, and stars were divinities. They were gods to be feared, to be worshipped. The Hebrew words there seem to confirm this very thing. Here's the point they're making, though, that these gods are creation of the one true God, if you will. That this one true God is the one that deserves our loyalty. That message is echoed in the laws of Moses. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength." You know that one, don't you? In Exodus, right? "You shall not have any gods before me." The laws of Moses. "No idols of anything in heaven and earth." I would think about it this way then, like that one conductor bringing together the different parts of an orchestra into an amazing symphony. Only one God can weave together the elements of creation into a symphony of life. That's part of what the oneness of God is saying. What about wisdom? The wisdom of God that we see in creation. The other day I read what I thought was a very good description of wisdom. "Deep knowledge applied with skill to life." Do you like that? Deep knowledge applied with skill to life. Wisdom. Well, the psalm writer applies this to God, saying, "Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you've made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." When we look at creation, can we not see the mind and the wisdom of the one God who creates this intricate system of life that keeps balance and sustains existence? Can we not see, as some have said, that intelligent designer? But here's the thing about God's wisdom. It is an involved wisdom. Wisdom lived out in creation, applied applied to life, if you will. God's not the absentee landlord, friends, who built it all and then went on to another project. No, God's knowledge is used loving, healing the world, and certainly Jesus showed us that in its most perfect form. God uses God's wisdom to sustain life. That brings us as well then to how creation reveals God's presence and God's goodness. God is not merely great or one or wise. God is present and God is good, that means. Now, a moment ago I read from Psalm 19, and you might have caught some of that belief about how creation was designed. In that ancient cosmology, the earth was flat and covered with a dome. I was trying to think of an example parallel to that, and all I could come up with is those containers that the rotisserie chickens come in, you know? The little container, they got a dome covering it all, right? A flat earth with foundations and strength underneath, you know, and then a dome covering it all, sealing it all in. Stars, moon, sun, clouds under the dome, a portal under the dome for God to come and go as well. And then surrounding it all, water above, water below. That was the ancient understanding of what it all looked like. One commentator I was reading said, you know, that makes it more the big splash than the big bang, right? Yeah. Of course, over time, science has revealed a different design and different scope. Technology has allowed us to see 10 billion light years, or about 6 billion trillion miles out into the universe. And what we have seen is that this universe appears to be expanding, no edge, no end. That kind of knowledge brings up some new questions, doesn't it? The ancients had theirs, we have our questions. Where is God then, right? If this is what we know, where is God? Even further out there? And if so, how does God get here? Does God have some kind of super duper sonic Thunderbird jet that jettisons God everywhere God wants to go? I'm joking, right? But these are the kinds of questions humankind has always asked in light of these mysteries of creation. The ancients did their best to understand. We do our best to understand. And this is why we don't read the Bible as a science book. Not meant to be that. The writers of the scriptures were always seeking to make some religious sense of this, some spiritual sense that could apply to how we live in relationship to God. Seek out what we can know of God from its wonder and mystery and laws, the laws of creation. Two of the most important things that we hear then, God is present and God is good. Now, I will say the Bible keeps us honest with this one. Because there are a lot of stories and songs and proclamation in the Bible where God is creator apart from creation. God's greatness and power and wisdom made as beyond our understanding. There the message is that we shouldn't get too cozy with God. Shouldn't get too comfortable with God. And yet this creator, whose ways are higher than ours, is constantly present, interested, interacting with creation. As the psalmist asks, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And after considering all the options, he comes back to his answer, nowhere. Even in my end, I am with you. But you know what? It's faith, isn't it? It still comes down to faith. To look and listen and hear and taste and touch this natural world of ours and find God present in it. I think about the Grand Canyon. You know, Deb and I and our family were at the Grand Canyon a few weeks ago. And we stood there on the north rim and looked out over this amazing, amazing thing. And as you know, I look back at that and I think there were probably a few folks that day who stood there and say, all right, it's a big hole in the ground, you know. But it is also possible to be amazed and wonder at it all, isn't it? To see the eons of time written on those canyon walls, to think of the greater forces that carved it all out, to think of the balance in nature, the ecosystem thriving there. Be moved by grandness. And to conclude, wow, what a beautiful thing, what a gift. And to sense in that moment the evolving earth, the universe, us in it are part of something bigger and purposeful and good. I believe God has put that sense in each of us. Spirit of the divine, mark of the maker, calls that up within us, enables us to know God is near and God is good. The familiar poem from Elizabeth Barrett Browning summed it up well. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush is afire with God. Or as Pastor Chris said to the kids earlier, even the stones talk of God. It's all testimony to this God in whom we live and move and have our being. It's all of God and in God. And it says God is good. God is with us. It's as if the earth is God's very body giving life to us. How do you know God in nature? Where do you feel closest to God in creation? How does the natural world offer you evidence of the existence of God? And how do we respond to that? Well, I'll leave you with a thought. Maybe you just use your five fingers this week and remember those five characteristics. Greatness, oneness, wisdom, presence, goodness. Say it with me. Greatness, oneness, wisdom, presence, goodness. Yeah. And then to use that activity then as well to think about what is one thing I can do, what is one way I can respond to God's greatness and oneness and wisdom, God's presence and goodness. How can I respond? Certainly with greatness, praise and thanksgiving is a constant. Oneness, it's that we pledge our allegiance to God and not to the idols of this land that so often decimate God's creation. The idol of consumption, for example. What about God's wisdom that we would apply our knowledge with skill to life for the good of others, for the good of creation? God's presence, that's an easy one. Be amazed. Take notice. Look around, right? Be amazed at the wonder of it all. And then God's goodness. Can we not make our bodies, this body, a source of blessing and life to others that can flow from us and bless them even as God's creation does us? I think those are some things we could do this week. Thanks be to God for what we can know of the Lord through the gift of creation. Amen.
I see friends. you do? Verily saying, I love you. I hear babies cry and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than we'll know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends.